Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
Look, I'm doing great. I really hope that the blooper reel that just happened here ends up somehow making it live, because I think, in addition to it being kind of funny, it struck me more than normal how you really switched into radio voice once you started the announcing side of this. So, you got the pronunciation down and everything already, Jeff?
Oh, crap. I was going to ask about that. Elizabeth, I have your name, but how do you, is it Ferd?
Is it okay, so it is actually technically Ferd.
Ferd. Okay.
So, Ferd is, I mean, I can explain this in the in the actual thing too, if you ask, because everyone does ask us how to pronounce. Is it Ferd? Is it Pferd? Is it, you know, Ferd?
No, like Price Pfister, you know, the fabulous faucet with a funny name. It's a very good thing.
Yeah.
That's usually my bit.
You called it, but I have used that as
well. We're the two oldest people in every room. That's why we remember that damned ad.
I certainly don't remember that ad.
Basically, Price Pfister faucets, they were spelled PF, right? And Price Pfister, and nobody knew how to say it. So they made that the highlight of their campaign. Price Pfister, fabulous faucet with a funny name.
Oh my gosh.
And it's got an alliteration. Everyone knows.
That's amazing. Ours doesn't have an alliteration. It just is German for horse. Which I can explain.
We definitely need that in the show.
Yeah, there we
already
go.
Already recorded. Cut and paste here, and we can.
Actually, this needs to be in as it is. Yes, I mean, I think we need to figure a way to edit the story as it's already been told.
I'll figure it out.
That's pretty fun. All right, but we will start with an official beginning.
Perfect.
Ferd, got it.
Ferd.
Yes, I'm a professional. I have to turn that on.
Yeah. I'm a professional. Yeah, need to get deep. Okay, but in all seriousness, look, I couldn't be more excited for today's show. I think there's been a lot of talk and a lot of promise, if you will, for e-commerce in the world of manufacturing and industrial marketing. And one of the areas that I think has been less explored and where there is an awful lot of leverage to be gained is in e-com for servicing a distribution network. So I'm just really excited to have today's guest on the show and to bring her experience to us.
Yeah, and unpack that. So joining us today is Elizabeth McCusick. Elizabeth is the marketing and e-commerce manager at Ferd North America. Welcome to the Cooler Ring, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here today.
Elizabeth, I want to know, look, I have so many questions, but let's start. I want to know how you ended up at Ferd, and maybe tell us a little bit about the company as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I joined Ferd Tools. Now we recently did a brand relaunch from Ferd to Ferd Tools. I joined in July of 2022, so it's been almost 3 years now. And prior to that, I was at a direct-to-consumer e-commerce only business, and we actually sold eco-friendly fine jewelry. So I have all the background of a really techie e-commerce, like techie scrappy e-commerce business. We didn't even have a sales team. It was all marketing and e-commerce at the previous company. So then in 2022, I joined the team at Ferd in e-commerce, specifically looking at getting all of our product data to distribution. So Ferd, and I can take a step back here and explain, you know, what Ferd Tools does. We're an abrasives and metalworking manufacturer. So all of the consumables for industrial manufacturing, metalworking, shipbuilding, automotive, you name it, we have everything from hand files to flap discs to carbide burrs. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin specifically, we manufacture abrasive power brushes that we then ship all throughout North America as well as to our headquarters in Germany. So that's like a quick overview of our products. and what we make. We sell through distribution. So I'm really excited to talk more about how we partner with distribution, specifically in the e-commerce space and the services that we provide to our distributor partners.
And when you joined, was the platform already in existence, or is it something you helped bring to life?
Kind of. So when I joined, we had a terrible website and we were in the process of rolling out a new one globally. So we are headquartered in Germany, and I can take a little bit of a step back and share more about that blooper reel you mentioned. So we were actually founded over 225 years ago in 1799. And the very first product we ever manufactured was a farrier file for horse hoof care. And that is our logo, if you've ever seen it. It's a horse jumping through a hoop. It's a very iconic logo. It doesn't tell you anything about our company, especially in German. Fared means horse. So we recently did a brand refresh to Fared Tools to show like we are the comprehensive source for metalworking solutions from a history of over 225 years of innovation from that very first, you know, horse farrier file to everything we make now today, abrasives, carbide burrs, all the products for metalworking. So
it may result in you're required to explain the name to people all the time, but
yes.
But I will say it's a great story.
It is.
Thank you.
Like, you know, an awful lot of people, you know, they don't really have a decent story to tell about the founding of the company or the name or whatever. It just always, you know, the founder's last name, so that's what we call the company.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, even if there was, we started with this one little product in somebody's garage in Wisconsin, you know, it wasn't 225 years ago that began, and with a very specific thing that also ends up contributing to the visual identity. I think it's really fascinating, and I'm sure it brings up more questions than answers for a lot of first time.
Well, now, to be fair, I think it started in Germany and made its way to Wisconsin sometime.
No, but I mean, like, compared to a lot of like small, you know, even multi-generational manufacturers in North America, they're still less than 100 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is also still the same family that is in leadership of the company, so that, and ownership. So that is a really cool story too. So it's the same family for over 200 years. And, you know, I've gotten to meet numerous members of that family, and it's a really, really cool place to work. So it's fun. But yes, Fared is the technical pronunciation. In North America, you will usually hear people say Ferd, especially if they're in the South, or maybe even Peaford, but it is technically Fared.
So 3 years in, we've got a bunch of product data we need to get sorted out. We're on a mission to get our product data in the hands of our distributors so that they can actually make hay. I'm sticking with the horse analogy. And you're also, you know, taking possession of a new and hopefully better operating website over that time.
Exactly. Yes.
Take us through it.
It was a challenge. It was really fun though. So when I started, they had already developed a really good e-commerce platform for our distributors as a distributor portal, and that had started in Germany, you know, with our headquarters in Germany, and they'd started the international rollout of it. So usually with our company structure being headquartered in Germany and then in the US, sometimes we do things first in the US just to try it out, and then the headquarters team will do it better later down the road. However, in this case, really the website that was developed globally, it was an awesome solution. And I came in and I had been, you know, from a really, really high tech, fast paced e-commerce business. And I joined the team in July 2022. And That month that I joined, I think I went through a lot of what have I done, because with the Atlantic Ocean in between, I joined at the time when our global head of e-commerce was actually on parental leave, and so was another team member. So I, you know, went from my previous role where I was project managing the whole website experience for our developers, to not having access to our content management system in a terrible looking website in all reality for what was currently out there, and not having the context I needed to make progress and make things work. And I was definitely going through a, what have I done? You know, but then our team members actually, you know, parental leave ended and they came over to visit the US and they walked me through the platform that they had developed for Bird globally. And I was really excited to see it because it was a headless front end, you know, very high tech system that combined a PIM system, a very intense ERP system, a content management system, and then also a commerce platform all together to make a really cohesive user experience for our distributor partners. So it is a direct to consumer feel, but exclusively business to business distributor portal. And so then my task essentially following that meeting and all of the planning was to roll that out in North America. So then that was the US, Canada, and Mexico, getting to project manage that, getting to roll that out and working with all of our distributor partners throughout the rollout to make it a good experience for everyone.
Elizabeth, when you were, you mentioned, it seems incredibly comprehensive, I mean, PIM and ERP, CMS, obviously. My curiosity is, when we think about the relationship that you have with your distributors, you know, I'm assuming it's fairly robust. There's a lot of, you know, moving parts and components to that relationship. Were you seeking to make 100% of that relationship happen online right out of the gate? Or did you stage it in some way to say, these are the core things we want to do and do really well, and then we'll move into these other things later? Just how did you think about that?
So I think something that we focus on as a business is still being personal. And so we want to be really high tech and easy to do business with, but we're not trying to take the personal element out of what we do in any way. So we're working on what works for our distributors. So refining what they're using the most when it comes to our distributor portal. So they need the product information to be accurate, right? So that actually ties hand in hand with getting the e-commerce data out to distributors. So they need the product information to be accurate on their own e-commerce websites. They need the good imagery. They need all of that. So the same PIM system that we use to organize everything for our own website, that's what we pull the data from to give to them for theirs. And we now have a team member dedicated specifically to that who, you know, any format you want it in, she will work with the distributor to get that to them. So helping them support their own e-commerce business, that was like probably priority number one, because also their sales increase when they can have our product data good on their sites, and our sales increase too when they purchase more of it because they have a good e-commerce experience of our products. But then when it came to the portal, they need the accurate information then for their end user orders, right? So making sure that our inventory information, because they can view inventory, they can view their order history. Those are probably the two most important things for them, so that they can check on an order status for their end user, and then also product availability for us. So we have all of that. So those are the things that we really like nail down to get best, and also the purchasing experience. But that's more cut and dry e-commerce like purchasing journey.
I really want to thank you for illustrating the incredible value of investing in the product information management platform for your distributors, because I do think that it is still a thing that a lot of manufacturers are trying to wrap their heads around. You know, even if they're not offering an e-commerce experience themselves, they're also not providing good data and good imagery and appropriate descriptions and specifications and all of that stuff that gets baked into a PIM. So I think it's awesome to hear that that was an exceptional experience and also drove sales by having more reliable, better quality product data. So thank you for sharing that. That's really cool. But my question is, like, how have you considered, you know, how your distributors use your platform in terms of like their sales process? Like, are you allowing them to buy in different ways or just ship you a PO or things like that and still use that platform? Or is it a little more regimented than that?
Yeah, so we want to be easy to do business with. So we don't have any sort of requirement, right, where you have to place this PO online. You know, we have lots of different ways that our partners can purchase with us. They can still email customer service a PDF PO, and many choose to do that. But then we also do EDI connections, right, so that they can place their order in their ERP system and automatically comes into ours. In theory, everything should work well, but we find more and more that's pretty costly for them in addition to costly for us. And then we also have our distributor portal where they can place orders online. And with that, we are continually increasing the ease with which they can place orders. So the most common way people order is just searching for the part number at the top of the screen, adding it to cart, and then checking out that way. But we have numerous other ways. They can upload a CSV file. There's a quick order pad, essentially, where they can just type in part numbers. And we're exploring more ways to make that even better, because the feedback we hear is we don't want the double entry, right? So if they've already entered it in their ERP system, for the especially larger partners who don't have the EDI connection, it can be time prohibitive to enter it in two places at once. A lot of people say, hey, this is just an awesome experience. I like seeing that it was entered perfectly and like see the availability and the estimated date for every single line item. So I'm going to place it through the portal, even though it's that double effort. But we're still trying to make it better so that more and more people just love using that experience.
A quick clarifying question, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
How many of the distribution partners have an e-commerce presence? Because you were saying, ooh, first things first, you know, servicing their e-com via your e-com was the kind of first priority. So kind of what percentage are we talking about there?
So when I started at Faird, I developed an e-commerce scorecard, essentially, for our distributor partners, where I looked at their e-commerce websites and basically was like, I just noted five different characteristics. Can you, you know, add to cart from the PDP? Can you check out as a guest? Is our product on your site? Is there pricing available on the site? Can I create an account immediately as a user? A couple different like criteria for evaluating the standard e-commerce experience for those distributors, and then also began tracking our like sales through those distributor partners to say, okay, this much of our business is investing in e-commerce because they have a score on our e-commerce scorecard for the experience they're providing their end users. So those customers, we know they're valuing e-commerce. We want to see how their business is developing. We also want to see the B and C level customers. We've found that the A experience distributors and the C experience distributors, we know one has an S, it's just A, B, C. Those e-commerce accounts are growing the most, whereas that B level is not. And so we're not, you know, tracking other business differently. And so our theory is that a great e-commerce experience on the distribution side pays off. A mediocre experience, you know, why they might be getting a C because everything's hidden just behind a login and they could have a great website. Some of them have beautiful websites, but you can't check out immediately as a guest. So they probably just have a really good partnership with their end users. And so their business is growing well. The B level customers have not taken that full step into investing in a good e-commerce experience, and they're stagnant. So they're not offering any sort of wow factor there. So that's how we're tracking, you know, e-commerce performance with our distribution. And then we know that 33% of our distributors overall rely on us for e-commerce support that we're tracking. Sometimes we'll discover our product on someone's site and we're not tracking them, but then we add it, you know, to the list to see how everyone's doing.
That's pretty good progress. I want to go back to something you said a moment ago around, you know, trying to find as many ways as possible to work with your distributors to enable them to avoid double entry and things like that. Are you proactively seeking that feedback about iterations that you want to have? Are you conducting sessions like discovery sessions with them, or is it just kind of receiving feedback as they use it?
Yeah. So when we first went through the launch project with our distribution, we selected, you know, key partners to be part of a beta program where we actually gave them the HT access code to our staging site.
Oh, wow.
And said, hey, test it out, you know, let us know what you think. And then when it was our, you know, production version, but hadn't been launched, we gave them that HT access and said, hey, place your actual orders through our site. You know, if you're willing to partner with us in this, we did give them a nice gift basket as a thank you after. But we asked them, hey, let us know how this works. Do you get your order when you say you're going to? What feedback do you have for us? So that really helped us work out a lot of the bugs. And then we've made improvements from that since, like little things and big things like, hey, we'd like to be able to enter our customer PO number into our order with you guys as well. Like we can let them enter their order number in for their ERP system, like the distributors, but they also want to enter in their end user PO number into the portal. So that was a simple adjustment we made, and that's, you know, helpful for their record keeping.
I'm always very interested in kind of that service design side of how you engage with the end users and get their perspective on it so you can make it better. Yeah,
and we do, as we're rolling out new features or considering new features, we definitely reach out. I reach out personally to the contacts that we have to say, hey, here's something we're thinking about. Don't tell anyone. But what do you think about this? Does any of our competition do something like this? And then we get that feedback to help make decisions.
That's very cool. Curious, what's been your biggest surprise in this work so far, 3 years in?
My biggest surprise?
Yeah.
E-commerce or broader?
Well, you tell me. Well, I'll just say, you know, in terms of bringing this to life and, you know, getting the distribution network engaged in using the e-com platform, I just wonder, you know, it's obviously a very different world from your previous e-com experience. Curious what the biggest surprise has been.
Biggest surprise when it comes to working with our distribution, I think it's how eager and thankful our partners are for our support. And as I've had the opportunity to build a team to provide them more e-commerce data for their own websites too, they've just been really appreciative of that. So that's been awesome. And then larger just surprise coming to Ferret in general has been, we have a really, really cool global team, and getting to work in that space with people all over the world and learn from the experiences of this, you know, e-commerce experience globally and what e-commerce looks like in South Africa or Brazil or Canada or Mexico and the US and Europe, Australia, you know, that has been a really, really cool, like global meeting of the minds for our team. And we use that feedback globally to make everything better for all of our customers around the world. So someone in South Africa has an idea that, hey, we think is great and we do that here. Or we have an idea in the US and or in Canada and that's rolled out globally. So that has been probably the biggest joy in what I do.
That's really cool. Have you found that there's any one global region that stands out as the region that's kind of pushing for more innovative e-commerce experiences
or doing it really weirdly?
Yeah.
We're doing it really weirdly. Well, everyone will probably be listening to this podcast after, so I have to be careful. No, I would say, other than, you know, the U.S. is often the leaders in e-commerce, I would say, surprisingly, South Africa. I just wasn't expecting that, not knowing much about South Africa beforehand, and they really, really use the website as a tool, as a sales tool in their market.
Have there been any other kind of localizations that you've done in order to make the site perform in the way that it's expected in a particular region?
Yeah, so in the U.S., our website is, you know, when we're looking at product data, it is only Imperial. When we are looking at Canada and Mexico, because of how they, you know, use products in manufacturing, we have both metric and Imperial product data available just on the portal. We have French in for the Canadian website, and then obviously Mexico is Spanish as well. And then just little tweaks we've made to make things clearer when it comes to speaking in calendar weeks versus dates. You know, the U.S. and Canada do calendar weeks, or not calendar weeks, the U.S. and Canada do dates, and then Mexico and Europe or Germany would do the calendar weeks, like week 34 or whatever, which is completely new to me.
Let me get out my calendar and count.
I know. I actually have a German planner that says the week number at the bottom so that I have a cheat sheet. But our website, our distributors do not have to have that cheat sheet. It tells the date the product will be available, not the week.
They always do things weird over there, you know, like the first floor when you walk into a building is floor zero. You know, that always throws me off when you go to a hotel in Europe.
I just realized that now, and you're right.
You get upset that it's not one, Jeff?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, well, okay, I mean, it's the first floor everywhere else, but yeah, there is nothing. Sure.
Floor zero. Ground
zero. Yeah, I suppose maybe that's where that comes from. I don't know.
This has been a fascinating conversation. I wonder, as you look in the crystal ball, beyond, I suppose, continuing to make the site more user friendly for the distributors so that they continue to do more on the site, what are you seeing on the horizon? Where's e-commerce for distributors going?
Where is e-commerce for distributors going? I know there is a ton. Oh my gosh, no, I don't even want to talk about AI. So I like my team using AI when it's helpful, but I also think it is overused right now. So let's...
Or where is it going for you folks as you kind of look ahead to the next 12 to 24 months?
We are definitely focus on making a better experience, right? Like I already said, but I think where it's going for distribution to is what I'd talked about before with that, you know, choosing to invest in a really good experience or not. And I think that's what is going to separate, you know, businesses down the road from successful or stagnant. And the distributors that do invest in that really good experience will grow. And I don't want to say that the ones that don't won't, but the ones that invest half-heartedly, I think that will be a struggle to stay relevant, because you're either really, really good in that personal space and you know that's your strength and you stay in that personal space, or you know, blend personal and focus and invest highly on e-commerce, and then you have a really, really good experience and business growth plan. But doing it half-heartedly isn't going to grow your business and grow our business together.
I like the rally and cry.
Yeah, absolutely. Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. It's been awesome to have you on the show. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Oh, thank you. This was great. Thank you guys so much for the invitation. It was wonderful to talk with you more today, too.
Thank you.